Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What do effeminate male sweaters... There's a sentence I never thought I'd use. What do effeminate male sweaters and Trinity Evangelical Divinity School have in common? It appears a lot. This is Wretched Radio. It is official. Jimmy, I am no longer snarky.
You're not.
I'm not even close to being snarky anymore, thanks to DISNTR.com.
Dissenter, yes.
Who is this person? He's got a spiritual gift of sarcasm, man. I'm telling you, from beginning to end, he ain't happy about male pastors who wear feminine clothing. Headline, Dear Effeminate Pastor, here's why you're bleeding men. And there's a picture in the article of a number of pastors, high profile men that are wearing clothes a dude shouldn't be found in. How effeminate are they? Well, let's just say if Sean Connery could use his license to kill, he'd probably be taking aim at these guys because, wow, they are that effeminate looking. And because of that, the conclusion from Mr. Dissenter is that real men aren't attending at least this type of church. I suspect real men are looking for something more serious. I think that's maybe even why my Presbyterian friends, at least the American denomination, not USA, America, actually growing. That's right. It's bucking all Protestant trends. And the Presbyterian Church America, it didn't go up a huge amount, but it did go up. Why? Because I think men look at a guy prancing around on stage with a sweater that has puppy dogs and ribbons on it. Hello? And they just don't. We're out. No, thank you. I need something a little bit more earnest. I need something a little bit more serious. I was looking at a video of a preacher. He was doing some big event. And he wasn't wearing skinny jeans, but it was like a 40, 45-year-old guy, and he's in the baseball cap. It's on backwards, and he's got his cool T-shirt and the bracelets around his wrists. And I thought to myself, if anybody listening to this guy preach were to, I don't know, on the way home, be hit by a car, be taken to a hospital, where the emergency room attending physician says, it doesn't look good. Do you want me to call anybody? I don't think he'd be the guy they'd ring up because he's not serious. It's clear. I mean, clothing aside, he wasn't serious, but the clothing speaks. And it basically says, I'm trying to be relatable. I'm trying to be somebody that you can think is not going to be stodgy, judgmental, and critical. I want you to like me. And that is a trend that has been going on for a very long time. But now it appears a number of these guys, man, they're letting their inner girl out. And the clothes that they're wearing, it's like, seriously? Really? And you want people to take you seriously? I think men see guys like this and they say, no, thanks. What do the Presbyterians got? They say... They get up and they don't prance around and they don't look like a girl. And they don't speak softly. And they actually allow for some sharp edges. It's interesting that our trend these days is that we just want to polish everything. Nothing is rough. Nothing. I was actually watching a conversation. I was intrigued by this particular conversation due to what's been going on this week in evangelicalism. It was Mark Dever and Jonathan Lehman having a conversation about how to be convictional without being contentious. That's a tough balance. In fact, sometimes I would even say there is a time to be contentious where you really do put up the dukes. Now, that's the exception. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that we can never be like, hey, sorry, no. That is not something Christians tolerate. And I was watching the conversation with a great deal of interest. And Dever was saying that one of the things that he believes that is lacking in evangelicalism is honesty. That critiquing is always softly wrapped. And he described how, for instance, with his interns, he's willing to say to them, you're better at it than everybody else in front of everybody else. Not to put them down, but to speak the truth and to let the other guys know, hey, there's a standard you should be looking up to. And to the one who was identified as being the best in that particular category, careful, use your gifting. You're very good at this. Now, there's a responsibility that comes with that. And he was very, very earnest about being honest, which doesn't mean you're cruel. It doesn't mean that you try to put somebody down. That isn't godly. But where's just honesty? Where's just speaking the truth in love, but speaking the truth? Well, these girly sweater-wearing pastors, they have succumbed to the spirit of the age, and they not only do they dress softly to be charitable, but they never say anything that would ruffle anybody's feathers. Why? Because they aren't there to be faithful to the word. Whatever their motives are, it ain't to be a gospel preacher. Dear effeminate pastor, here's why you're bleeding men. Get ready. Whew. Whew. You stand on a stage, not a pulpit. Beneath theatrical lights, not the burning fire of truth, draped in pastel rebellion and accessorized like a department store mannequin on discount. Okay, actually, I will dissent from Mr. Dissenter. It's not discount. This stuff is expensive. You glide across the platform like a self-help seminar host with a theology degree from Instagram. And you wonder out loud why men won't darken your doorway. Your church has abandoned them. That's, men don't want to go see that. Men, it's not that women aren't, but we're talking about men here. Men are thinking about serious things. They feel the weight of their family, not just financially, not just to provide for their needs, spiritually, safety. How will they grow up? How do we deal with the influence of the world? And out comes Mr. Prancy Dancy, giving you a sermon on like how to have a more positive attitude, dude. Although they probably wouldn't even use the word dude. You've swapped the lion's roar for a kitten's purr, the sword of truth for a feather duster. You've alchemized the radical call of discipleship into a self-help session set to acoustic guitar. Jimmy, we got to find this Mr. Dissenter fellow. Who is this guy? You dress like a gender studies major on laundry day and preach like a man apologizing for the God he claims to serve. You mistake cowardice for meekness. Now, this is the important point here, because are we not called to be meek? Yes. Are we not called to be gentle? Well, we are called to be gentle and meek. But don't be confused. There's a distinction between meekness and cowardice-ness, spinelessness versus gentleness, ambiguity for nuance. And so many of these preachers these days cross that line. You whisper sweet nothings from the pulpit because you're terrified of conviction, allergic to confrontation, and addicted to applause. And that is a plague. It is the spirit of capitulation. It's the spirit of, please, culture, don't despise us. Don't revile us. Don't ghost us. Don't dox us. And that is why there's a relationship here in this particular sarcastic article with Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. For all intents and purposes, it's closing. Now, they would say it's not, they're putting their best face on it. but they are moving their campus from Chicago, relocating over 2,000 miles away in Canada. The beautiful campus, done. You know, there were a lot of great theologians at Trinity, which, by the way, was related to a small old Orthodox denomination, the Evangelical Free Church of America. I think that A.W. Tozer was evangelical. No, he was Christian and Missionary Alliance, CNMA. Evangelical Free, that's Chuck Swindoll. And the professors that were there, at least in the 90s, Don Carson, he ain't no slouch. Wayne Grudem, Harold O'Brien, Douglas Sweeney, the Carl Henry was a visiting professor. John Stott spoke in chapel. And now they're closing down. And the contention of another article, not nearly as snarky, from John Carpenter is the reason, this is the word I'll choose, effeminacy. Not taking a stand. Not being bold. Not being biblical. Not being willing to take one's knocks. Deets, next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org because what feeds your mind shapes your life. You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth before June 30th because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. fortisinstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners.
Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is the mystery solved? This is Wretched Radio at dissenter.com.
I think that's it.
Dissenter. Well, I flipped the page. Dissenter.com. Oh, an eyebrow scorcher. There isn't a non-sarcastic word in the entire article, which means I like that, which means it just makes me look a lot nicer. Maybe that's my motivation. So we're trying to figure out who Mr. Dissenter is. Have you discovered who this person is?
I can't find a last name. I found the name.
There's maybe somebody that could be behind this anonymous critique. Too soon?
Maybe.
Okay.
What? It used to be Reformation Charlotte.
Okay.
And the only name I've seen is Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, but I don't see a last name.
You've got a gift, Jeff. You've definitely got a gift. This isn't about pastors' pink sweaters, delicate gestures, or cropped pants that scream urgent identity crisis. It's a whole curated aesthetic. The Instagram-filtered sermons, the caffeinated sanctuaries, the emotion-stimulating light shows that make church feel more like a boutique wellness retreat than a battlefield for souls. This is a critique of effeminate pastors. Now, it doesn't mean that they're doing ballet on the stage. Well, maybe not. Hey, that's interesting. Now, Jimmy, this is something. I don't know that your AI machine can help with this. We see churches, these mega churches. Mm-hmm. They create these amazing like these Broadway shows. Has anybody done anything? I don't know, classy. Like ballet. Mm. Is there a mega church that's ever gone Swan Lake Sunday? Don't miss it. No, probably not, because it's just always like 80s AC/DC Sunday. Are you on a highway to hell? Jimmy, let me know if you find any ballet churches.
Okay.
I will be a little bit surprised. Unless, of course, the pastor's daughter is taking ballet. Then somehow that could get woven into the sermon because, hey, that'll preach, won't it? This article addresses not just the effeminacy of dressing, but of speech and of convictions. And I think the critique, while being rather sarcastic, makes an important point. Men aren't looking for effeminate. Men aren't looking for silly. I don't think serious men are looking for light. And I think a lot of the beta males that attend these effeminate mega churches, they sit, but I think even in their hearts, they must be stirring and asking the question, what am I doing here? Is he my role model? Is he what I want to look like? Is this really going to help me? And is this going to prepare me to die? I know you could make the case that there are a lot of goals that a pastor should have for his sheep, but preparing them for death has to be right near the top, if not on top of the list. I know that's how I feel. On Sunday morning, we all look so happy and healthy, don't we? And it's funny. At our church, did I mention alpharettabiblechurch.org? At our church, I know there are people I see on Sunday morning and truly bless their hearts. You know, they're looking pleasant and they're being affable. And I'm not talking phony. But I know that they've got physical maladies that are like, wow, I don't even know how you got out of bed today. And yet you came to church, you got dressed up and you came to church. I know those things are happening. I know that there are people that are facing very serious health scares. I know that there are people who have been given a timeline. They kind of have a ballpark of when the experts think will be their last day. Will these pastors wearing effeminate sweaters, prancing around, doing Megadeth Sunday sermon series? Really? Is that going to help these people? And that's why I got to tell you, These places, they should stir us a little bit more than I think they already do. I think a lot of us are, we see some of this silliness and we just, it can be like amusing on one level, like, dude, seriously? On the other hand, it's like, hey, wait a second. You are, I think, not representing the one you claim to represent well. Furthermore, all of those people out there are being made into merchandise. That should stir us. That should cause us to be a little bit... Concluding the article from Mr. Dissenter, you don't want men, Pastor, not real ones. You want docile, agreeable, emotionally delicate eunuchs. Men who ask permission to lead their families, apologize for existing, and nod along to your diluted gospel-like interns at a yoga retreat. You want the kind of man who quotes Brené Brown. I don't know what a Brené Brown is. Mm-hmm. I'm not cool enough for that. Shops at Anthropology and thinks Paul was a bit too assertive. But the world is choking on weak men. Families are gasping for fatherhood. Classrooms are cluttered with boys trained to apologize before they speak. And into that crisis walks you. With your sermon series titled Feelings and your fog machine set to safe mode. It's not just churches that are having an identity crisis. Institutions are dropping like flies. And it comes underneath, I think, the banner of we've got to be gentle and meek. Now, I do think that there is a need for gentle and meekness. I think we can identify some that are just too brazen, perhaps. So and furthermore, we're to model Jesus, who was gentle and meek, but that doesn't mean sissified. It doesn't mean soft and capitulating. It doesn't mean, oh, well, we just won't speak up because we don't want anybody to... Okay, we'll allow that onto our campus because some might make somebody feel bad. That isn't being gentle and meek. That's being compromised. Let me take you to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Now, this is one man's observation because he attended the school. His name is John Carpenter, asking, why did Trinity Evangelical Divinity School fail? Now, over at the Gospel Coalition, Colin Hansen, who's the editor-in-chief, he wrote an article saying, I think I can tell you why. Two reasons. One, lack of ample endowments. Two, insufficient financial support from a large denomination. Was it really a financial issue? Or at least, was it totally a financial issue? This man recounts when he was back on campus at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, somebody posted for an event about Christians for Biblical Equality. In other words, evangelical feminist propaganda. He decided before Babylon Bee even existed to post something that was kind of Babylon Bee to make fun of it, to parody it. From the article, it was taken down immediately and caused a tempest in a seminary teacup. Soon during a chapel meeting, professors chided such boorishness and advised us all that above all, note, not that we defend the clear, repeated, and emphatic statements in God's words about men headship, male headship, or how feminism inevitably undermines the authority of Scripture. No, above all, be nice. His commentary, TED's, was undone by its refusal to take a stand, its commitment to third wayism, and its tacking to the middle. When you attempt to walk down the middle of the road, you get hit by traffic coming from both directions. Now, perhaps motivation is well-intentioned, but execution of walking down the middle road, there are some times to walk down the middle road, but when it's clear in the Bible, there's no middle road. There's no third way. We must strive to speak truth in love. It ain't easy. We must find the way to model Jesus rightly, who was gentle and lowly, but he was also a bold lion who tipped tables and who denounced the work righteous religious system of the Pharisees. C- concluding from this particular perspective on Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, believers want their institutions to be bold when the Bible is bold. Amen to that. And we're not trying to be unnecessarily divisive, but to be bold. Ted's, however, tried to be all things to all people and in the end became nothing. This should teach us all a lesson for the future. Indeed, it should. We need to work hard at making sure we don't cross any line, whether it's the line of being too brazen or the line of being too soft. We must speak truth in love. And it is much better to struggle with finding that balance than to lose one's balance, go the third way down the middle road, and get hit by traffic on all sides. And besides, proof is in the pudding. It just ain't working. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.